All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network, and we are in our guest portion. We have Miss Carrie Ash with us this morning from Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and she's going to be talking with us and educating us on what the Child Evangelism Fellowship of Kentucky is. So how are you this morning?
Thank you, Hannah. I am so blessed to be here.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in studio with us. And so kind of educate our listeners a little bit on what your organization is, and make sure you say it in case I messed up the wording of it a little bit. There's a few words in there, but just kind of explain what you all do, who you all are, your mission, and those sorts of things.
Absolutely. I would be glad to. So I am a missionary with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Child Evangelism Fellowship is the world's largest ministry to boys and girls. Our purpose is to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to disciple them in God's word for Christian living, and then to help establish them in local Bible teaching churches. So we are a fellowship of born-again believers serving all around the world. Our goal, obviously, is to evangelize, disciple, and establish the children in churches. But our vision is to reach every child in every nation with the gospel of Christ, give them tools, resources to be able to be in God's word every day. So every child, wow, every nation, every day. Our strategy to do that is to train workers to be able to go out and share the gospel with children, mm-hmm, to equip them with tools that they need, and then support them as they're sharing Jesus with, yeah, the world. So we, as I mentioned, we are the world's largest ministry to children. Last year, worldwide, we had the privilege of sharing the gospel with over 29 million children.
Wow.
It is amazing, and it's all to the glory of God because He's made it possible. And 25 million of those were in direct face-to-face ministries.
Wow.
The additional 4 million were from our digital ministries. We have a ministry called Unite Kids, which is uniting kids with the gospel through technology. Then we also have a literature distribution ministry. So millions of copies of booklets were given out to children, resources. We have a booklet called Do You Wonder Why, which was developed after 9/11 to help children in times of crisis.
Wow.
Deals with those tough questions such as, is there a God? Does He love me? Does, mm-hmm, He care? Why is there so much trouble in the world? And it points them to hope through Jesus Christ.
Wow.
In the flooding in eastern Kentucky, we were able to distribute over 6,000 of those booklets to children and their parents and families as well. So that's a very brief overview of our purpose, our mission, our strategy. But the programming is what people are most often interested, mm-hmm, in. So our main program throughout the school year is called the Good News Club. Perhaps you've heard of them in the news. They've been in the news because there's been Satan clubs that are fighting against Good News Clubs.
Oh.
But our purpose is to share Jesus with the children wherever they are. So, mm-hmm, that may mean in mobile home parks, apartment complexes, homes, neighborhood centers, community centers, but also in the public schools. And the majority of our Good News Clubs here in the United States are on public school campuses after school hours.
Wow. Okay, so that's interesting. So has it always been after school hours, or is that a recent change? Because I know that the public school system, from what I've heard from teachers that I know that are working in the school system, they are changing a lot of their rules when it comes to sharing your faith, having groups. Now, when I was in high school, we had a prayer group where we would meet in the mornings and we were able,
great,
to pray together. But I'm not sure if they are allowed to do that anymore. So do you know kind of where that's at with this group?
Yes, absolutely. So Good News Clubs have always met wherever we can. And for many, many years, we've met in public schools, but sometimes even as release time classes where they go off the campus during the school day. Most right now are meeting after school hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have protections in place because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in June of 2001, actually 3 months to the day before 9/11, it was June 11 of 2001, that Good News Club can meet on public school campus on the same terms as any other non-school group. So we have the U.S. Supreme Court that says, yes, we can. That doesn't mean it's always easy. We have enemies that would try to stop. But if 4-H, if Boy Scouts can meet on public school campuses, then Good News Club can as well. And it's a wonderful opportunity to reach the unreached children and their families with the gospel of Christ. The majority of children in America go to public schools. So it's a wonderful mission field. We partner with churches that will adopt a school in their community. We train the workers. We have excellent curriculum and resources available. We provide liability insurance and the support that they need to be able to go into the schools. And it's been amazing to see. This past year in the U.S., there were 4,294 Good News Clubs meeting, most on public school campuses. In Kentucky, we were around 40. We have a long ways to go, and we're so thankful that it's growing, and more churches are adopting schools. I have several that have already contacted me for training in July and August to start new clubs this new school year.
Wow. So can you explain that process of how, if, 'cause we have a lot of pastors that listen, and just kind of explain what that process looks like for a church to get into that.
Absolutely. So basically, we walk them through step by step. We will be glad to sit down and explain the program and all that is involved. But once the church is interested, I've worked with some churches that were already serving the public school in many other ways, backpack programming, many serving in resource ways, but not sharing the gospel. So this is a great way to serve the schools that they're already partnering with or a new partnership. And we have background screening that is required of all of the workers. And like I said, we provide liability insurance. There is also the connection. If they don't have that connection with the school, we'll help to facilitate that and get permission to use school facilities and send out flyers home with them. But we train the workers. So usually I go to the church, or one of our other missionary staff members would go to the church, conduct a training for them prior to the start of club, walk them through a club, and even show a club demonstration so they see what it is, and then support them step by step along the way.
Wow. That's awesome. So how many different areas do you all reach? So I know you talked about Kentucky. How many? And I know that you said that your mission was to reach everywhere.
Yes.
What are some of those regions that you all reach?
So right now we have 4 established local chapters in Kentucky. One is Northern Kentucky, and that one has about maybe 12 counties in the Northern Kentucky region. We have the Greater Louisville chapter, 9 counties. We have Heartland chapter, which is where the radio station here is located. And that one has, I believe, 11 counties and about 16 that are the Greater Lexington area. In all of those areas, we have local missionary staff that are serving. And then the rest of the state is where I'm serving because we don't have others. But we have work way on the West Virginia border in Louisa. We have a Good News Club. We're working with a church in Ashland that wants to start a club this fall. A lot of clubs in Christian County, almost every school. And our goal is to be in every school this coming school year. We're getting back in Todd County. We do, in addition to Good News Clubs, now we have summer ministry as well that is going on right now. We have a lot in the Bowling Green area. So I know some of your listeners are in the Glasgow area. So really, we're trying to reach throughout the state.
Everywhere.
But yes, our goal.
So have you all reached anywhere out overseas yet? I know you said your goal was everybody. How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. We have a staff around the world of 3,604 workers. 97% of them are nationals.
Wow.
So in the past, our missionaries have gone, trained and equipped nationals to lead the ministry, and then they're training their own people. They know the language. They know the culture. And it's exciting to see. Good News Clubs in Africa will have 200 children come as soon as the teacher arrives. They just come running, and they're so eager to hear the word of God. We are in almost every country and actively praying to be in the remaining ones. And of course, the hardest is North Korea, but it's not too hard for God.
Amen.
Our South Koreans are ready to go in when the doors are open. We're excited about what God is doing.
Wow. So I'm trying to think through the structure of this. So what can you kind of talk about what your position is like? And then I'm assuming that there's someone like you in each area of the organization.
Okay, sure. I am the state director here in Kentucky.
Okay.
So my job primarily is to oversee the staff, to equip and support them, to encourage them, to provide leadership training, but also to develop ministry in areas mm-hmm. where we're not currently active. In all 50 states, we have a similar structure. We have a state mm-hmm. board, which would be comprised of volunteers that are providing the leadership and oversight. A state director, not all have state directors currently, but some are searching, mm-hmm. but a state director that would oversee the staff and ministry in the state. And then we have local chapters, which would have a local committee of volunteers and a local missionary.
Awesome.
In other countries of the world, there's a national director, mm-hmm. and then some of them have local chapters as well that are under that.
Wow. That's awesome. And, you know, you talk about how eager the children are in Africa and some of these other areas. And, you know, it brings me back. And Ms. Gretchen knows what I'm talking about. A lot of our listeners have listened to our brother Todd Mingus, who does VBS ministry in Honduras. And he talks about the same thing, how, and even, you know, we talked about Miss and Mr. Juanipa earlier, and they serve in Puerto Rico, and just hearing from them how eager these kids and the people are in these other countries. And then we look at our states, our country here, and, you know, I think that's been the prayer of a lot of prayer warriors for a long time is, Lord, let us become eager again here. You know, we are so blessed. We have so many blessings and freedoms and all of these things. But which one is, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And
we have so many resources of the gospel, you know. So.
Already here. Yeah. Yes. And so it's like, how do we, and I'm sure you all have asked yourself this question many times in your organization,
yes.
is how do we work together to see that eagerness here, you know, and I know that it's natural to see more eagerness where there's less, because there's that desperation, that anticipation. But what are maybe some ways that you all have worked together, or maybe some success that you've seen when it comes to this issue of our kids, our people just aren't eager?
Yes. So from the standpoint of the children, they're born in sin like all of us are, mm-hmm. and they have that hunger within to know Christ. So many times they just have not been told or have been bored with some traditional teachings, but many times it's because the gospel was not included, and it's the gospel that has the power to change hearts and lives.
Amen.
So just going where the children are, sharing God's love with them, we've seen amazing works. We have just this past year, as the school year was beginning, we had one of our workers that was trying to recruit workers for a public school ministry, Good News Club. She spoke at a church sharing about the need for volunteers. The church was so excited because they had an opportunity to go into their neighborhood and share Jesus. And it was exciting to see a church that really embraced it and was ready. A team of volunteers stepped up. They went to the school open house to promote Good News Club. Their very last flyer was given to a family with two daughters. The two daughters came to Good News Club. Within a few weeks, each of them received Jesus as Savior. And then
wow.
they said, Mom and Dad, we want to go to the Good News Church. It was the church that sponsored the Good News Club. They just didn't know what it was called or how to find out. But the parents found out and they started attending. Both Mom and Dad received Jesus as Savior. And then in the end of October, the parents were married. They wanted to live for God and were married. They were baptized, and that whole family is just embraced by the church, supported by the church. They're growing in their faith. And that's just one, but there's so many others. I'm a product of Good News Club myself.
Wow.
I came to know Jesus as Savior when I was 4 years old in a Good News Club, and then had that discipleship teaching week after week after week. I was also challenged for missions. And as a child, knew that God was leading me to be a missionary someday. I thought it was going to be far away in another part of the world. That was my vision. That was my heart. That was my desire. And God closed those doors over and over. But he's brought the world to us right here in Kentucky. Another part of our ministry that I didn't really touch on yet is the 5-Day Club ministry. And that is our summertime ministry. We train teenagers to share the gospel. Kids look up to teens. They want to be like them. They want to talk like them. They want to dress like them and act like them. And so we find Christian teens that are serious about serving God and serious about their faith. We have a very intensive training for them. It's a lot of fun if they're there for the right reason, but it is intensive. And then they go out and teach 5-Day Clubs, which are backyard Bible clubs, all summer long. And we had a young man that came as a young teenager several years back. I believe it was 2018 was his first year. From Mexico, but living in northern Kentucky with his uncle, and his family was all back in Mexico. He learned how to share the gospel. He went back to Mexico, led his brother to the Lord, then he came back for the school year, and in subsequent years, he went back and he was able to lead his father to the Lord. And then the last summer, it just surprised me when he said he was going back for his parents' wedding. I said, what? But that was another situation where they were together, all of their, you know, through all these children. And he was now 18, 19 years old and just had never been married. But now that they knew God's way, they chose to follow God and they were married. And it was just so exciting to see the work that God has done.
Wow. You know, that's encouraging to know that there's something for the teens, too. Because even though, you know, these are teens that are serving God, I mean, I know how it is to be a teen serving the Lord and have temptations all around. Not having a community or accountability can really lead you into a state of backsliding, a state of being entrapped by these things, ensnared by these things. So do you all have very many teen volunteers for this? Or if maybe there's a parent listening or a teen, how could they get connected with the volunteer opportunity?
Yes, absolutely. We had 22 that came to our week-long training this summer in Campbellsville. We use Campbellsville University campus, and our staff and teens stay there. It's a residential training for the week. And then we had six or seven that went to a separate one weekend training that we had for preteens. So we would love to see the program grow. And yes, they can contact me. I can give our phone number, 270-735-9441. Again, it's 270-735-9441. Or maybe the easiest is to visit our website, cefkentucky.org, Kentucky all spelled out, CEF for Child Evangelism Fellowship, Kentucky.org. And we'd be happy to connect you with a local worker or myself and help to provide that training for whether it's to go into a public school and share the gospel, whether it's to have teens that are interested in serving. And many of the teens that serve in the summer continue to serve in Good News Club after school during the school year. Not all of them, but some of them do. And that's training they'll use the rest of their lives. I've had several adults come to me. I remember once when I was sharing the ministry at a church promoting the summer missions program, a pastor came up to me and told me, I did that when I was a teen. And he said, I have appreciated all of my years of Bible college and seminary, but that training provided the most practical help and how to simply and clearly share the gospel that I'll never forget. He said, now, I'm very glad I went to seminary. I needed that training, and it has equipped me for my role as a pastor. But it was a great testimony as to just how to share the gospel. So many don't know how to share if a neighbor is wanting to know Jesus. And if you can share with a child, then you can share with an adult as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, you know, that study our word, that serve the Lord, you know, it, the word is in there. But even, you know, I experience a lot just going blank sometimes, or just the fear of, you know, when you're about to go do it. But I feel like when you have practical training and practical things that you can pull out of your memory, it helps you in those times where maybe you're in a stressful situation, or that those nerves are kicking in. And yes. And I love that you all have the training available, and for teenagers too, because I'm sure there's a lot of teenagers who are serving the Lord but probably have no idea how to start going into evangelism, but have that desire. So I think that that's really awesome. And also that you're doing it at Campbellsville. I'm a graduate from Campbellsville University. So and their campus would be perfect for that, to do these trainings and things. So when do these trainings, what's kind of the time frame for these? Has it already happened this summer?
Yes, we start the Saturday, a week before Father's Day. We usually finish the day before Father's Day, so it's kind of a standing week. We wait until schools would all be out for the school year, mm-hmm. accounting for potential snow days and cancellations, but as early as we can, so they have as long to serve during the summer as possible.
Now, I do know one listener, well, a mom that's a listener, and her daughter is thinking about going to Campbellsville. So do you all have anything for college-aged volunteers as well?
Yes. Actually, our summer missions program is from the preteens that do a weekend training, and then the week-long training. We start at age 13, but we go on up actually through adults. It's geared toward young people, though, so mm-hmm. it's for adults. It is very hard because it is so fast-paced. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of breaks, and the young people learn things very mm-hmm. quickly. We move fast, but we have had some adults that have come. We had a father that came last year who's a pastor, but he saw the difference it made in his son's life and wanted also to support the youth from the church that were coming, so he took it. A Sunday school teacher came last year also for the same reason. She had seen how the youth from the church were able to clearly teach in an exciting and effective manner, and she wanted to learn how to do that, so she came. But primarily, high school, college age, mm-hmm. we had this year, I would say at least one third, maybe a little bit more, were adults that came. But by that, I mean young adults. We didn't have older ones this year.
Oh, yeah.
18 through 23, 24. We had a lot in that age range. And people from all over the world that are here in Kentucky. As I mentioned, we reach the world, but we're also having an opportunity to train people from mm-hmm. the world. Last year, we had a young lady from Afghanistan, a refugee, that had come and took the training. We had some that were from Latvia. We had Mexico. I know there's some more countries. This year, we also had a young lady from Brazil who's here for the summer, and she came to the training. She is so excited to use her training here this summer in Kentucky and then back in Brazil when she goes back for the school year.
Wow.
So that was exciting, too.
Well, this is just very encouraging to hear the success of your all's organization. And I don't know how I didn't know about you guys. I probably did, but just didn't remember the name, honestly. But there's so much that goes on at Campbellsville. There's so many different organizations. Sure. But it was awesome to get to meet you and to educate our listeners on what you all do, and that there's opportunities even beyond what some may know. Is there any, we have like 2 minutes left before we have to end the broadcast out today. Is there any other information you want to get out there? Maybe give the website, any other contact information for listeners, and any other last closing words that you would like to say.
Yes, thank you, Hannah. Well, thank you for helping us to share the word through the radio audience. We sure appreciate that. Again, you can reach me at 270-735-9441. Our website, cefkentucky.org, or you can email, probably the easiest one would be cefofkentucky, all spelled out, at yahoo.com. And I'll be happy to put you in touch with someone in your area, whether it's even across the border in Indiana or here in Kentucky. we'd be happy to help you to serve. But my challenge for the listeners would be just to be active sharing Jesus. We have the best news in the whole world, and I'm thankful for Box 2 Network and those that are sharing over the air. Share with your neighbors. Get the word out. Jesus is the way. That was our theme this summer, the way, the truth, and the life. Go share Jesus with the world. Thank you, Hannah.
Amen. Thank you so much, Carrie. We are out of time this morning, and we will be back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.